Now we'll have our time of scripture. If I can have Yerkha and Abby come on up. Let's do the reading.
Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I am in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be given to you. This is my Father's glory, and that will bear much fruit, showing yourself to my disciples.
Well, as you can see, our visual from last Sunday has changed. Last week, we were talking about through Christ. So Debbie changed the scarf to represent us, the triangle representing God, the Trinity, to being in Christ. So we do everything through him. We live through him. We live because of him. And we also are to remain in him, as our scripture teaches this morning. I want you to imagine for a minute that your inside, your soul, your heart, your mind, what you imagine is a garden. What does your garden look like? You can answer. What does your garden look like?
Full of weeds.
Full of weeds, Dawn. This is the inside of you, your heart, your soul. Are there weeds? There apple trees? What does your garden look like? There's a book that actually Patty gave me that I had read not too long ago. It's by the same author that wrote The Shack. And in that, the person gets to go kind of, he's in a coma. So while he's in that coma, he experiences, he's in this like place, he doesn't know where it is. It's like a wasteland, and there's weeds, and there's all these things. And then he learns that it's what his soul looks like. It's what his inside looks like. And he meets Jesus, and Jesus wants his garden to look different. So I'm just wondering, what do you think your soul or your heart would look like if it were a garden? Would it look like this plant where things are growing and lush? I mean, this is amazing that Pam's kept this plant alive, I guess because the weather's been so warm, because it's an outside plant. But does it look like this? Or does it look more like this? Dry, brittle. This really did come from my holly tree. I didn't bring any of those holly, very pointed, sharp leaves that come off of this tree. But they could be here as well, but that would have really been a mess for Debbie cleaning up. Carrie, what is the condition of your heart, of your soul? Which one of these does it look more like? What does it mean to be like these plants? Or in our story, in our parable today, what does it mean to be like those grapes on the branches, be those branches that are connected to the vine? What does it mean to be in Christ? What is this parable? Those words abide, that's not a word we use very often. This passage uses, this translation uses the word remain. But I really like, and we sang a song today, I think, with the word abide in it. I like that imagery of abiding, remaining, being at home in Christ. What does that mean? Well, when Jesus was talking to his disciples, it was the night he was going to be betrayed. So it was his last night with them before the cross, before his trial on the cross. And if you read before John 15 and John 13 and 14, Jesus keeps saying the same thing over and over. I am going away, but you will still be in me, just like I'm in the Father. I will be in you, and you will be in me. And he keeps saying it over and over. And finally he gets to what is our chapter 15, and he gives them a parable that maybe will help them understand what that's like. And the parable, I couldn't bring a grapevine today, so we have this. But the parable is this beautiful picture of a vineyard, a grapevine. And his disciples would have understood this in a particular way, because in the Old Testament, in what we call the Old Testament, in Ezekiel, in Isaiah, in Psalms, it uses this imagery of a vineyard, as Israel is a vineyard and God is this gardener. And sometimes, you know, we know how Israel was. Sometimes they fall away and the vineyard is dying, and is God going to come in and restore it and bring new life to it? So when Jesus says, I am the true vine, I am the vine, you are my branches, they would have thought, oh, like how Israel was, like we belong to God and God belongs to us and we must remain in that. They would have had that picture in their head as students of the Torah and knowing the prophets. They would have thought about that. So this is familiar to them. And the other thing I want to call to attention before I really get into the passage is our English language. We use the word you, and it can mean one person or it can mean a lot of people. And in this case, every time you see that word you up there, it's plural in the Greek, which means when he was talking to his disciples, he was saying, all of you, all, remain in me. When I read this by myself, I feel very kind of individualistic, like I have to abide in the vine, which is true. But he's also saying to all of them, you all together. This does not just have one branch. It has many. So as each one is connected to the root system and to the vine, they are also connected to each other. We're connected to God, and at the same time, in this parable Jesus uses, we're connected to each other. I was at a silent retreat, and I was sitting down under a tree. I was looking up at it, and I thought, how interesting. Because there was one giant section of the tree that was completely dead, and one section that was green and alive. And I thought, this is the same tree. How did the sap stop going to that one section? How is that possible? Is that what my garden looks like? Is that what my soul looks like inside? Part of me is green because part of me, I'm remaining open to the Spirit. But I maybe have sections that we do this a lot. We compartmentalize, right? We say, well, that little piece of me, I'm just going to do my own thing. And what will eventually happen to that tree? Will the whole thing die? Because the dead part just keeps, I don't know much about plants. But I was wondering these things, and I was wondering about what that imagery would be like to us. So Jesus gives this parable to his disciples right before they're going to face one of the hardest things in their life. He wants to bring them comfort. He wants them to remember his words after he's gone. Even though I'm not here, you are still, all of you are to remain connected to me, and I will remain in you. If you don't remain in me, this is what is going to happen to you, because apart from me, there's no life. There's no life. And the scripture says, Jesus says, it's only good for starting a fire. That's it. So let's dig into this parable a little bit of vine and branches and think about what it means. As I was studying it this week and last week a little bit too, I was recognizing that this relationship that we are to have with Jesus, this connectedness we are always to have with him, is really an act of God's grace. You know, that vineyard, if you will, that was representing Israel. We, all of us here, none of us are Jewish, right? So all of us have been grafted into that vineyard. You belonged to a different soil before. And I haven't ever grafted a tree or a plant, but it's possible, right? When you take it out of the old and you add it and graft it into the new. And that's what God has done, so that we can even be attached to this vine. We couldn't even be attached on our own. We've been grafted in. There's a grace through God that God used Christ to make it possible. Isaiah 27, using that same parable of the vineyard, promises that this vineyard of God's will grow. And says that the Lord is the keeper of that vineyard. It says the Lord is the one who's going to water it. Because if it relies on Carrie or Deb or Rose, it might look like some of our other plants around here that don't quite make it all the time. But the Lord's going to water it. It says the Lord will guard it night and day, and no harm will come to it, and this vineyard will grow. This ability to be connected to the vine is not something that we do on our own. It's a gift of grace from God that happened through Christ, like we talked about last week. And this relationship with Christ, this connection to the vine, is its ongoing work. It's living. It's changing. Just like any relationship you have, it adapts, it changes, it gets hopefully deeper as we get to know Christ more, as we have a deeper understanding of Him. So we're not talking about this whole thing where people go, hey, I'm having a bad day. Hey, God, I need you now. I'd like to be connected to the vine. Oh. But, you know, the rest of the week, the rest of the day, or that 1 hour on Sunday, I want to be connected, God. But we ignore and we pay no attention and we act as if we're disconnected from the vine the rest of the week. It doesn't work like that. You're not going to be able to flourish and grow. We're talking about a relationship. Relationships take time to develop, and it's ongoing, it's changing, it's living, it's grace-filled. Thirdly, the relationship with Jesus, as we see in this picture, is interdependent. It's mutual. This cannot by itself produce these flowers. It's only because of the nutrients, the photosynthesis, as John talked about, and everything from the sun and the roots that grow up and the sun that comes in that can produce this. Can't do it by itself. So you are not a Lone Ranger Christian. You're not meant to be. But the interesting thing is that the vine without the branches also can't bear fruit. God has chosen to work through us to be able to bear fruit. So it's this. God says, I'll remain in you. You remain in me. There's this mutuality, this interdependence. Of course, God is sovereign and bigger and greater, but God has chosen to work through us so that suddenly, in a way, God's limited himself and he's using us to bear good fruit. The relationship is mutual. Everything that is in the vine belongs to the branches. As a branch, I have access to everything from the vine, everything from Jesus. I can choose to participate in it or not, but I have access to it. It belongs to me, and I belong to him. And fourthly, this relationship with Jesus, as we see it in this parable, is meant to be a very intimate, close connection. I was reading a little bit about vineyards, because I don't know much about them, and when I was in California, I went by a lot of vineyards. So I saw them in various stages, when they were full-blown and also when they were just, they really sort of, some of them, I guess in their beginning, they almost look like this to somebody that's untrained. Because those first 3 years of starting a vineyard, they keep chopping or pruning back. Because what they want is they don't want just a vineyard that's going to produce a lot of grapes that aren't very tasty. And so there's a way to do it. You can ask Deb. She's learned a lot from the violins about apple trees, right? And what tree did you have, Samina, that Urban told you to prune and you didn't want to? Pear tree, right? Because it's hard to cut back what looks like a healthy branch so that 3 years down the road you're going to have good fruit. But that's part of what this intimate relationship looks like. And when I read about with the vineyard, at least 3 years before they even start bearing fruit at all, that's good fruit that they're going to use. And they keep cutting back the branches because the branches that are closest to the vine are the ones that bear the sweetest and the best fruit. So what a perfect illustration Jesus had. Our relationship with him, his disciples' relationship with him, even though he wasn't going to be there in the flesh, was meant to be this close, intimate, connected relationship. 1 John 2:6 says, do you want to know if you're abiding in the vine? Do you want to know if you're remaining in him? The way you know is that you will walk as he walked. You can't say, hey, I love Jesus, and then everything in your life looks opposite of Jesus. It doesn't work like that. Can't just be in your head. It has to be in your heart and in your hands and in your feet and in the way you live your daily life. So abiding in him, staying so connected to him. You know, there's a verse in here that has always troubled me. And it's verse 7. Will you read that out loud with me? If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. It troubles me. Debbie's like, why? Well, Debbie, did you want a new car this week? So did you ask God for it? You got it?
I did, but it's not.
Debbie deals with it by saying it's in his timing. Right? But this has always troubled me, especially when I was praying for my brother. And the thing is, Jesus didn't just say it there. He says it later in John 14, same thing. He says it in John 13, same thing. So it's like three different times when he was hanging out with his disciples the night before he's, you know, going to be arrested. He's saying, if there's anything that you wish, just ask and it will be given to you. And if I were them and I remembered that, I would be like, hey, God, how about Jesus doesn't have to die on the cross? Right? So this is a struggle, this verse. Jesus intended it for a reason. He said it three times. At least it's recorded. He might have said it more. What in the world does it mean? Well, for the first time ever, as I've studied this a lot, and I've always been stumped by that. And this week, as I studied it, I noticed everywhere it was in John 14 and John 15 twice, that verse is right next to talking about bearing fruit and remaining, because it's all about remaining in him. So when we ask him, for whatever we wish, what are we asking about? I think there must be some connection between bearing fruit. It's not God's a genie and, hey, I'm going to ask him for a new house. You can ask him for those things. You may not get it the way it was. But when you are seeking to follow him and to have your life reflect him and to begin to bear fruit for him, that prayer, he will always answer with a yes. Because that is also what brings him glory. So this is not a Santa Claus God that we're talking about here. When you are so intimately connected to the vine that you know the heart of God, think about Jesus' last prayer that we know about. Well, besides on the cross. What was his prayer in the garden? Hey, God, I don't want to do this, but not my will, but yours be done. And there is this connection. And God answered his prayer in that he enabled him to get through that time of suffering. One of the first prayers that's recorded by the disciple after Jesus' resurrection in Acts, after he ascended into heaven, the church is being persecuted. And what's their prayer? Their prayer is not, hey, God, save us from persecution. Their prayer is, God, give us courage as we face this persecution. Why? Because their prayer is about bearing fruit and doing what God has them to do. Scripture says that we have each been created in him to do good works. Before we were even born, there's a work for you to do, Daryl. There's a work for you to do, Angie. There's a certain kind of fruit that you're going to bear, Phyllis. There's a certain fruit that you're going to bear, Dawn, that God knew about before you were even born. And when you're praying about how to live that out, yes, then. That may not be the only answer to that problem. I still wrestle with God over that. But I'm trusting that somehow as we stay closely connected and remaining in him, and as we're seeking to bear and walk as he walked and to bear his kind of fruit, then God answers our prayer. So how do we do this? How do we abide? How do we remain in the vine? How do we stay connected to God? I don't think it's rocket science. How do you stay connected in any of your relationships? Bruce and I, as we try to navigate being married and living 525 miles away, I think that we stay connected by FaceTime. He's like once a week, maybe. So we have to figure out, though, how do we stay connected? How do you stay connected to God, to Jesus? How do you remain in Him? And how, not only as individuals, but as a church, how do we do that? You know, a branch could never, obviously this branch doesn't have a brain, but this branch couldn't even conceive of not being connected to the vine. That's all it knows. It's interesting that Jesus commands them, you remain in me, you abide in me. It's a command that he gives, as if we can choose. As if we can choose. Maybe that's the part of the parable that breaks down a little bit. That branch can't choose. God gives us the ability to choose. And so sometimes we get mad at God, we get angry, we get fearful, we get selfish. We think we know best, and we want to pray and tell God how to make things work. We get busy. Sean, this morning in his prayer, he prayed about how busy we get, and we don't just take that time to be present with God, to be alone with Him, to hang out with Jesus. There are church fathers, if you go way back, that said, you know what, this abiding in the vine business is such hard work. I don't think we can have regular occupations and still do this. So we're going to go out to the desert. That's what they did. They were called the desert fathers and mothers. And we're just going to be in the desert so we can abide in Jesus all the time. But Jesus, yeah, he took time away. He did spend time in the desert. But he lived his life and abided. So how do we do that? How do we have this deep rootedness and peace within ourselves while everything else is swirling around us and we're trying to do laundry and, you know, run errands and get everything done, take care of our kids, all that stuff? How do we still, like, abide when things are crazy all around us and we're going a million different directions? How do we do that? One of the books I was reading said, used the image of a father. It said, like with you. You can't. And that's sort of what happens with the remaining in the vine. Your identity is so rooted in this vine, and you are so connected to Jesus that even when you're out running errands, you're still this awareness within your body, let me even at an unconscious level, that you belong to Him. And you might not be there yet. But that's what can happen. I promise you it's what can happen as you grow in your relationship with Him. I'll just give you a funny example. This week I was in my office and went downstairs to get water. But you know there's snacks down there that are left there during the week, right? And I wasn't really hungry, but I'm a little bored. And so I brought this lunch that was very healthy, but, you know, I sort of wanted potato chips. And so I was like, thinking about it, I was filling my water up and I was like, okay, Rose, I'm going to abide. I'm abiding. I'm abiding in the vine. I don't really need those potato chips. But I had one small success story. I won't tell you. I had a time this week when I didn't do that. But the point is, I made myself aware of the reality that I belonged to God. And I didn't really need that. I had enough of what I needed, and I didn't need to go off down that path. Being aware of the truth that we can abide, that we belong to God. Sometimes it's really a matter of just trusting. When I first started going to spiritual direction or therapy here in this area, I was talking to my spiritual director and I said, these are all the things I want to fix by coming to you. I want to stop doing this, and I want to start doing this, and I'm going to do this. I'm a little bit of a perfectionist, if you didn't know. And I had this long list of things, and she sat back and she said, how's that working out for you? I said, well, so far. And she said, Rose, what you've got to learn to do is to just rest in God. And as you're resting in Him, as you're abiding in the vine, she didn't use that language, the transformation starts happening. That's when change begins, when you stay connected to the vine. That's when you start to bear a different kind of fruit. That's called surrender. It's called surrendering. I can't do this on my own. I'm going to trust. And I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray. And I'm going to trust and pray that God will begin that work in me. The last thing I want to say before we take communion is the invitation here. The invitation in the plant is to keep everything open so that everything can be flowing through the vine to the branches. So you have to, we have to. The one thing we can do is ask God to give us open minds, open hearts, open hands, to receive all those nutrients that are coming from the vine, all the things that the gardener, who's God in this parable, is doing from the outside, that the sun is doing. We have to stay open to it. The minute we let our heart start getting hard and sealed off, and we start closing our hands and we close our minds, we miss out on everything God has for us, and we stop abiding in the vine. We stop as individuals, and we stop as a community. So I invite you this week, just like I did last week, I invited you last week to just wake up every morning and say, okay, this is through Christ that I'm going to do this. Through the one, I can do everything through Christ who strengthens me. I invite you this week to think about that image of being in the vine and saying, how am I going to maybe spend some time alone with God this week? Maybe if you never pray at all, spend 10 minutes, spend 5 minutes. Start small and keep increasing it. If you spend an hour, spend a little bit longer. And just spend part of that time just saying, God, I want to abide. I want to remain in you. Show me how to do that. Remind me of it during the day. I'm not my own. I belong to you. I do not want to be like those dead branches. I want to bear fruit. I want to have life. And I want to have an abundance as Jesus. So perfect. God, thank you for this image of the vine and branches to help us understand what it means that we are in you and you are in us and we are connected. And if we've said yes to Jesus, that's the reality of our life. We can choose to be aware of it and be open to it and be open to receiving everything we have so that we can bear fruit, or we can try to close ourselves off. You give us that freedom. Lord, I pray that you would grow a vineyard here at Black Covenant Night Church of many branches that are bearing good, rich fruit. We pray for ourselves, but we pray for one another, because we're on a vine with a lot of other branches. And our prayer is that we can be a people, as individuals, and as a vine, like those first disciples, the first church, that you call, and you're still calling us to do this, to be your vineyard, to bear your fruit, to trust in you, to surrender to you, to remain in you. Thank you for grafting us. Thank you for joining us on to your vine. Thank you for pruning us. Thank you for working through us. In Jesus' name.